from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And welcome back. We head into the happy hour, final hour of Gwen and Chris for this Thursday show. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Adam Klug doing a fantastic job. Sitting in for Matt Scraby today. Scraby on vacation again. I mean, well, I don't know that shoulder surgery counted as a vacation, but seems like he's been idle quite often lately, Scraby.
You know what? It's okay, though, because Scraby wouldn't take a day off if we, like, begged him.
He used
to
never take one.
We had to push him out,
make
basically.
Him stay home.
Yeah.
Very good point, Tony. We are just having some fun today, mostly. Padres are idle. If you care about the scoreboard, it's August 1st, but Atlanta's leading Miami 3-0 in the bottom of the second inning in Atlanta tonight. Braves began play a half game up on the Padres in the 4-5 spots for the wild card race. Otherwise, not a whole lot to discuss. Padres obviously coming off the nice series, whisking of the Dodgers. We didn't call it a sweep. We called it a whisk. Short broom, small broom, but two games, got it done, and win the season series for the first time since 2010. In fact, Tony Gwynn Jr., your name made it into the Kevin Acey article today in the Union Tribune.
How so?
He said, how long ago was it that the Padres last beat the Dodgers?
That's right.
Tony Gwynn Jr. was on that team. That made it into the article.
On the Dodgers that year.
Yes, that was duly noted in the article today. Of course, after that, the Dodgers won the season series 13 years in a row. But the Padres finally clinched this year's. Rockies are the opponent.
I took the magic with me when they kicked me out.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. You left, and they couldn't ever beat the Dodgers again. Rockies are coming in for the weekend. Starting tomorrow night, Randy Vasquez will start the first game of that series. Martin Perez will make his Padre debut on Saturday in the second game. Third game, no pitcher has been announced. And that has led some to wonder what is going on with Michael King. Michael King pitched Saturday in Baltimore, last Saturday in Baltimore, got the win, improved his record to 9-6. Go back to that game for a moment, Tony. King threw 101 pitches.
Word.
6 1/3 innings, struck out 9. I mean, it was really, you know, a really, really good performance once again from Michael King. But his turn in the rotation would actually be Saturday, but he's not listed. Perez is listed. So if you're giving him an extra day, that would be Sunday, but he's not listed there either. So are the Padres trying to hold off on Michael King, give him a little extra rest, save some innings?
Well,
or some are surmising that he might be hurt. And that is, I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying some are thinking that because he's not currently listed to pitch coming up.
Coming into the season, Michael King had thrown 104.1 innings. That has his max.
Right.
He's already at 124.1. Yes. My guess is that this is a way to buy him some time.
A little extra time.
Get him closer to the end of the season. They don't have to name him a starter yet. My guess is when, what is this, today's Thursday? When tomorrow rolls around, we'll have a better understanding of, you know, who's going to throw Sunday, if it'll be Michael King or if they want to push him a little bit. What I do know is a lot of starters don't like the extra rest. They it's a rhythm thing for them. This is why guys like to pitch every fifth day. Remember the rotation a few years ago? They all were like pushing back against that extra day. Now, they ended up liking it towards the end of the year, but
that's right, because the Padres did the six-man rotation
a
couple of years ago. Yeah. Well, we'll see with Michael King. I don't disagree with that notion, Tony, that they want to give King a little rest. But, number one, somebody's going to have to start the game Sunday against Colorado. They've got to put someone out there. And, you know, two, you know, how much time are they going to give King off? Three, King doesn't like time off, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, he basically said to us in our interview with him earlier the year on the Friar Friday that, you know, he's actually told Mike Schilt before the season, please don't take it personally if I'm not feeling it when you come to take me out of games. Remember he said,
I think he was feeling it the last game that he started.
He doesn't like to come out, and he's that kind of gamer. So I don't think he'd want to, you know, sit time out.
Yeah,
maybe there's a twinge. I hope not. I hope what you're saying is it. I hope they're just giving him a little extra rest.
I hope what I'm saying is it too, because quite frankly, they can't afford to lose a Michael King right now.
No,
the way things are going, I know Joe is going to make his rehab debut here shortly. But, you know, that's assuming he goes out, he's healthy, he's still a little bit of ways away. I'm sure it's going to be more than just one start. I know he lobbied to be an opener. So, and my guess was that he was trying to avoid having to go down.
Yes, I'll be happy to open a game rather than pitch in El Paso.
But they want a little more controlled environment, and that's as close to a controlled environment as you get during a season. So he's going to go down there. But, yeah, I hope the same. Because, you know, one of my fears is Padres' bullpen is, I think by everybody's account, is an elite bullpen. Top one or two bullpens. And they got a lot of them. My concern is that because you don't have we don't know how Martin Perez is going to throw the ball. I think we're all hopeful that he can eat up some innings. But the pull to go to use that bullpen and kind of go about it the way we've seen the what was that, Tuesday? Was it Tuesday night they had a lot of the relievers?
What they call chasing the victory, when you're behind but you're using your best arms out of the bullpen.
There's going to be a pull to go that route, and I just not 100% sure you want to do it a lot. You know,
right? You want the bullpen to be great. From about September 28th to November 1st.
Right. But we're only in August.
And it's only August 1st, but you also have to get there.
Yeah.
So there's so many questions. But, you know, I will say this.
I'll say this. Joe being able to come back is a huge deal for the Padres.
And I don't have any doubt that he's going to. He's too much of a gamer. Unless something really goes wrong, I certainly expect Musgrove back out there, you know, mid to late August, taking his turn in the rotation, helping lead the Padres to the playoffs. But until then, they're going to have to make do. And let's be honest about it. You could have a rotation this weekend of Darvish, Musgrove, and Cease. Instead, you have Vasquez, Martin Perez, and a blank spot. That's a little different. you know, than what you would love to have. And I know it's the Rockies, but we've seen what can happen. So
yeah.
Get a little worried about that. In the meantime, now the Padres are 4.5 back of the Dodgers. And the Dodgers just did something, Tony, that they had not done in, count them, 45 months. You have to go back to September of 2017, nearly 7 years ago, to find the last time that the Dodgers were outscored by their opponents in a full month.
Mm-hmm.
But that happened just this month in July.
Yeah, that 8-spot certainly helped.
That didn't help last night. They were they were outscored this month, and it's the first time that they have been since September of 2017. They also finished with a losing record this month. The Dodgers were 11-13 in July. The last time that happened, April of 2018, that they had a losing month. So, you know, Padres took advantage of it. I mean, they've closed it within 4.5. We'll see if they can get any closer.
Does that say 13-9 for the Pods?
Padres were 13-9 okay. This month. So, yes, they went 13-9. Dodgers went 11-14. So that's about 3.5 games they picked up in the standings. So
Padres in a good spot. They're playing some good baseball.
They're not in the bounce.
Just got to get hot.
And you were talking earlier about the Freddie Freeman and, you know, when he might come back. And
oh yeah,
it's sounding like, you know, I mean, you got to cross your fingers for this. I mean, that his son is going to be okay. But it's you know, sounds like a pretty serious thing that his son is going through. This is much more important and bigger than baseball. But yeah. You want, you know, Freddie Freeman back on the field because you want to know that his son's going to be okay. And yeah. that may be a while.
Yeah, his wife released a little update for everybody to kind of see. I'm not sure how to pronounce that syndrome that his son has. Guillain-Barré syndrome. I'm sure I'm butchering that.
I'm not familiar with it.
It's basically his whole body was like basically in paralysis, so couldn't breathe well.
Man.
Good news is over the last 48 hours they've removed the breathing tube. He's breathing on his own. He's made pretty strong bounce back, at least to that point. But according to Mrs. Freeman, she said that it's going to be a long road to recovery. So, listen, that has, regardless of Freddie when he comes back, that's going to be on his mind.
That's
if not the most important thing.
And
in
you
his
can
life
understand
right
the
now.
Dodgers just say to Freddie Freeman, "You take care of what you've got to take care of." I mean, this is way more important than baseball, but it's something to keep in mind if you're thinking of the Dodger-Padre race. And now Max Muncy, I believe, is due back here in the next couple of weeks, unless he has had a setback.
I heard that, you know, at least according to Dave Roberts, he spoke to the media, I think, first game on Tuesday, mm-hmm. and it was said that he, all of the imaging says there's nothing wrong. And so, I don't know, take that for what it's worth.
Dave Roberts' way of saying Max should be back now, and he's just not?
That's how a lot of people took it. So we'll see what happens there.
See what goes there. And how about Betts?
I think he's another three weeks away because it hits a wrist, so he's going to have to get back into swinging. And
I don't think it's impossible. I know this is a, you know, thinking on a high thing, but I don't think it's impossible that, and, you know, Betts isn't going to come back for 3 weeks. It's not, you know, Freddie, and then you've got Muncy. I don't think it's impossible the Padres could catch up to them here in this month of August.
Another good month
and
like
that, who knows,
that, yeah.
You know, whether they'd hold on to the lead, et cetera, but I think they can really turn it into something
here. If the Padres go 13-9 and they go .500.
Yeah, Padres, that would be two games.
It's one of those deals. The Padres, because of the way they played, we're having this conversation.
Yeah, and the way just the Dodgers look right now. I mean, yeah. I didn't recognize that team. You know, Kevin Biggio at first base and Ahmed Rosario at shortstop. And this had a lot of weird names that, you know, I know they're big league ball players, but it's got really a patchwork group right now that the Dodgers are putting out there. And as we said earlier, the Padres should have beaten them twice this week, and so they did. All right, check of traffic. The Hall of Fame game is underway, so the NFL exhibition season has started. By the way, I always call it the exhibition season. You know why? Because the NFL tells journalists not to call it an exhibition.
So you're doing it to be spiteful?
So I do it anyway. Thank you. Chrisella, go ahead.
Real quick, before we go, how are you feeling about your Falcons this year? Are you going to be good? Where are you at as an Atlanta
Kirk
Falcons?
Kirk Cousins.
I'm very high. I think they're going to win the division.
Wow.
And
that's
very much come around on the idea behind drafting Michael Penix.
Oh, that's bold talk. Win the division.
The stupidest draft pick in the last 20 years.
I recall him saying something along
Pretty
those lines.
Pretty sure you said that.
At the time.
Why have you come around
on it? What brought you around?
Does everyone in San Diego want to hear my deep thoughts on the Atlanta quarterback situation?
If Matt Scraby was sitting in this chair, we'd be talking about the 49ers right now.
Because if you know the Falcons quarterback situation, it's been a dumpster fire for years. And I've often said I'm ready to go get the franchise quarterback. And I also believe pretty strongly that when you are seeking that franchise quarterback, it should be a top 10 pick. If you're drafted outside the top 10, you're not going to be that guy in most likelihood. And the Falcons did what I wanted them to do. I also believe that, you know, a lot of teams don't devote enough resources to that position, and the Falcons went and devoted a ton of resources to the most important position in football. So, you know what? I've come around.
This man has convinced himself in a few months
You are going to be good. I'm going to use Tony's favorite word.
Not what you said when it happened.
I'm using Tony's word,
what
which has become my favorite word. You're convinced yourself of a fugazi, my friend.
Fugazi!
That's right.
Kirk Cousins has been balling in training camp.
I bet he has.
No defense, light him up.
I've been balling.
The Falcons haven't lit anybody up since Steve Bartkowski.
Kirk Cousins now after watching a little bit of the
quarterback show.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. He's a little bit of a nut.
He's definitely different.
He's like a pitcher.
And I love their head coach, Raheem Morris.
Yeah, I like the way he's been talking too. Pouring in the
Falcons
guys.
Talk. All right. Well, it's just as good or better than 49er talk on Gwynn and Chris back after traffic.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Just finished up a great finish to a table tennis matchup.
Korea, that was a matchup, man.
Japan. And it went back and forth.
They went down to the deciding seventh set or game or whatever, 3-3, and then 11-11. They were in both exchanged match points.
That's not the same table tennis we play. I mean, there's,
that's a different sport. They were really good, man. They were really good. And then the gal from Japan, she lost at the end.
Two match points, too.
She had two match points. Couldn't convert, ends up losing. The Korea girl who won it kind of went over to put her arm around the Japan girl because it was such a great, you know, they've been battling for 2-3 hours. Japan girl wanted none of it. She just barely, like, slapped her hand and walked off. It's like, sorry.
See, when I beat
I'm
Tony,
not happy.
When I beat Tony in Chris's Fantabulous Game Show, I said, good game.
I did, you did too. I said, hey, man, that was a good one.
My point is, she wasn't having it.
She wasn't having it.
I respect it. There's certain, you know, opponents, they don't do the whole... Hey, congratulations,
fair.
You beat me. Nah, I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing it. She wasn't doing it.
She's in tears right now in her defense.
She's in tears. The other girl who won is in tears.
Yeah, no kid. I'm
not a big table tennis guy, but that was one of the better matches you're going to see or not see.
What haven't we covered today, gentlemen? We've pretty much hit it all today. I will say that, you know, typically this time of year you start to get your rankings in terms of MLB power rankings. Padres have surged to 7 all of a sudden. Their previous ranking, 13. They jumped 6
spots. They went way up. Yeah, not only MLB.com, but ESPN as well. So Padres move all the way up to the 7th spot. It means absolutely nothing.
It means nothing.
But it's something I noticed on Twitter that a lot of Padre fans are... You know, very proud of themselves. Yeah,
right
they're
now.
Like, did you see this? We're number 7. So what? You don't. That doesn't win you any games. But it is interesting that in the minds of people, evidently, trade deadline. You know, for the people like myself who called into question how much they were giving up, the people who follow baseball don't think they gave up too much because they really love what AJ Preller did.
Yeah,
the way he's changed his team. I did go through another article that listed the rankings of all of the players that were acquired in the trade deadline action.
Tanner's up there.
Top prospect. No, but not.
Oh, the prospects.
As far as the prospects are given away.
Gotcha.
According to this list, the best prospect that was traded by anybody was a center fielder, Aiden Smith, traded by the Mariners to the Rays. I guess that was in the Arozarena trade.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Bloss, a pitcher, was traded by the Astros to the Blue Jays
in the Kikuchi deal. Apparently he's a plug-in right away starter right now.
Right, for Kikuchi. And then Dylan Lesko got the 5 spot, as in he was the 5th best player traded. According to this, Robbie Snelling was 10 and Adam Mazur was 11. So Padres gave up. According to, you know, whatever, who have put this list together, 3 of the better pitchers that were traded at the deadline. But we'll see how it all turns out. As we've said many times, Tony, You give me a parade in November.
I don't care what you
could trade anybody. You could trade Salas and DeVries tomorrow if somebody says we get a parade.
Without question. Without hesitation. I think the other thing is, and AJ said this the other day, they expect the guys they trade will end up in the big leagues and pretty good in the big leagues. That's an expectation that the Padres have. So, you know, I think with that being said, I think it goes back to what
I would also
what,
say
what
that
Alden said, that they know or are confident that no matter what they do,
they can restock.
They can restock.
But I would also say this, and I don't know if this is true in baseball, but if you trade somebody that turns out to be terrible, you know, and a bunch of guys that are just turn out to not be very good, are teams less hesitant to trade for you in the future as opposed to, you know, you're given good, solid players. They know they're well-schooled, well-prepared in the minors. They come to your team. You say, hey, I don't mind trading with the Padres. I don't know if that enters into it or not.
We joked a little bit on the roundtable the other day that we were giving away AJ's secrets. But the reality is these teams are sending, like, their best scouts to go see these guys before they make deals. That's how how this goes.
So they don't have to take AJ Preller's word for it that Lesko is good.
No.
They find out for themselves.
Come June, beginning of June, and for some teams even before then, you start seeing at the minor league game, you'll start seeing more scouts showing up. And the more scouts that are showing up are the more, and you start seeing different types of scouts as opposed to maybe your normal minor league, you start seeing some of the, you know, top tier major league scouts come in to evaluate. And from June through July, there's a lot of information that gets back to the teams. Everybody has seen everybody that is on their list,
right,
or they think could move.
So they don't just look at like analytics like a lot of these people on Twitter do.
No. No. They actually
go see these guys pitch. Yes. Okay, I didn't realize that. One other part of this article was a couple of questions to some of the experts. Here was this question. Real or not, the Padres are now a legitimate threat to win the National League after their reliever spree at the deadline. Said one writer, Alden Gonzalez, he said that's real. He said one of San Diego general manager AJ Preller's mottos that you need high-end players. It's what drove him to get. Anyway, it's what he told us, so right. I don't need to read it all again. But he said it's real. Also, Kylie McDaniel, who's more of a prospects guy, but he said real as well.
Yeah.
He said, look, Jason Adam, Tanner Scott, lesser degree, Martin Perez, and Brian Hoeing, they added a win or two to their expected record. That might not seem like a lot, but they're at a high leverage part of the win curve and in the thick of the playoff race now.
The Brian Hoeing move is something that AJ Preller has highlighted
multiple times. People haven't even looked at it.
And he had a good showing in his first appearance in yesterday's game. Mm-hmm. So, listen, the Padres, they did it differently this year. We've seen them, it seems like in most of the deadline deals, it's been a major position player hole and some starting pitching or relievers kind of sprinkled in. This is the first time there's a player, and it's been all locked in on the pitching in terms of what they want to bring. Now, you can make the argument they made their position player move when they got Luis Arraez all the way back in May, which, by the way, is the deal that put them in position to be able to make some of these deals, right? Because they gained money in terms of staying under that luxury tax threshold because they got the Miami Marlins to pay for all of Arraez's contract.
I also don't think you should be overlooked that when you look at the price of starting pitching right now at the deadline, they didn't have to give up nearly that much for Cease when they traded for him. He would have been a lot more expensive.
1,000%. Shout out to Stephen Wilson, man. I'm sorry, man. I really am.
We had to sacrifice him to the White Sox.
He was about 500 feet from getting on that bus when it happened.
Yeah, and he's had to go live through this season.
Which, by the way, is on pace to be the worst
team ever.
Ever.
Yeah, they're below the 250 win percentage right now. And 250 is the worst winning percentage in a baseball season. The Mets of 62 were 40-120. White Sox are below that. At this point, one last thing on the Cease trade and the Arraez trade that, you know, bears mentioning as well, I think. Not only did you trade, you got them to play on your team for months and months and months.
Got them early.
Whereas everybody else who just made trades hasn't got to use any of those players yet. Padres got to use their two guys all season long.
They won't get close to the full return at this point like the Padres did because they moved so early.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder if more teams might think of doing that in the future because I think A.J. Preller schooled some people there.
Again, it's about timing and right place, right time. Luis Arraez is the type of hitter the Padres specifically needed and, you know, that a lot of teams don't necessarily value. And we talked about it. You know, the average and all that is not something that most teams are coveting. However, the Padres, he's like the perfect fit at the top of the lineup for the Padres. And by the way, he's playing through a pretty tough thumb injury right now, still finding a way to get two hits almost daily.
And if it's up to me, the Padres need to re-up him. They need to re-up Profar. They need to re-up pretty much everybody would be good. I know they can't, but
I'm definitely a fan of them re-upping.
Those are the two that I want the most. Those are the two I want the most. All right. I don't know whose turn it is.
It's my turn. Let's get the break. When we return, we have Alden a little bit, and some more Gwen and Chris before. Here's some, no, not traffic. Here's a break.
All right, welcome back, Gwen and Chris. Wrapping things up here, 5:38 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Adam Klug sitting in for Scraby today. On the ones and twos, as Tony likes to say, 7-0, end of the first quarter, Texans over the Bears in the Hall of Fame game.
We talked all that trash about kickoffs. And
we all wanted to look at the new kickoffs. They had two kickoffs. I missed them both, so I don't know what happened. So hopefully we'll see it soon enough. I did notice this, though. According to Pro Football Talk, the National Football League has made another rule change this year designed as a direct response to limit something that Mike McDaniel invented with the Dolphins, trying to slow down the Dolphins' offense. Now, what they call it is cheat motion, and you're no longer going to be able to do it.
Was it called what?
Cheat. C-H-E-A-T, like you're cheating. Cheat motion. It is something that McDaniel used often last year, including 7 times in the opening game of the season against the Chargers. Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan later in the season copied it. It gives the wide receiver a running start into his route.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They do that. They use that a lot.
They use it all the time. And what it does is what they do, instead of going in motion all the way across behind the line of scrimmage, the receiver starts close into the tight end, then sprints toward the sideline, and at the snap of the ball, turns upfield. So Tyreek Hill, a guy like that, he's already at full speed before he starts running. And the Dolphins use that with him all season long. If you watched a clip of it, you'd know exactly what I'm referring to. Anyway, the NFL says no more. That will now be called a false start. They're not going to allow that.
I'm not going to lie. After watching it for almost
Tyreek Hill
season,
used to be halfway down the field.
I was like, it's unguardable.
Unguardable.
Especially if you have somebody who can run like a Tyreek Hill. You can't do anything with that.
The interesting thing here is that you and I talk about this a lot. This is the first thing that I can think of in the last 10, 15 years
that they've done something against the offense
that has been, yes, against the offense.
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel came up with something, you know, that they hadn't really legislated against, and it was giving his team an advantage. And as you say, it would have given any team an advantage with a really fast wide receiver like Tyreek Hill. But you can't do that anymore, apparently, this year. Yeah, go figure. You know, we finally do something well, NFL says no. Won't be able to do it.
Taking this as a direct,
yes,
personal shot.
Well,
here,
it says right here in the article, this was in direct response to what the Dolphins did last year. So take it for what it's worth. But if you're used to seeing that little motion that the wide receivers were doing, Tyreek Hill mostly, cheat motion will not be allowed this year in the National Football League.
My man Adam sent me a video of the kickoff from the first.
Okay.
I can definitely see some touchdowns happening with the way this is lined up.
And did we describe it remotely well earlier?
I think we described it well, but in my mind, I saw it differently. So the kicker is—he's way back. He's about 20 yards away back.
The kicker's 20 yards back.
Yeah, compared to where his rest of his line is, basically. Right. And the defense and offense line up, I think, 5 yards apart. And so the receiving team, they start back like you're going to block, but they got no time, so they immediately got to turn and block, so the collisions are less.
Yeah.
And I can see a missed tackle. And I think I heard Debo talking about this the other day. If you can make one guy miss,
you can go.
You got a chance.
Because there's only going to be one wave. You're right, Tony. I'm reading about it here. The kicker still is at the 35, but his teammates line up at the opposing team's 40-yard line.
Yeah, so it's more than 20
yards.
So they
are 25 yards away from where the kicker is. The receiving team lines up at the 35-yard line, so they're only 5 yards apart, like you said. So the collisions are nowhere near the same. And then, yeah.
The hardest collision that's probably going to happen is the guy running the football and whoever the tackler is. But I could definitely see it's the kickoff is back in play again because it seemed like it pretty much vanished.
Was not even worth watching for a while. The one, you know, you can almost see. Remember the Chiefs were the first to come out and say, we may not even use our kicker to kick off anymore.
They
wanted to add a safety back there to help stop.
Have a legit tackler
to help stop somebody that gets through
the
first line.
Yeah.
I mean, still, kickers can't tackle, you know, Debo Samuel.
Yeah, nobody really can tackle him.
Nobody can really tackle him. One of the things about football that I actually do find to be really, really excellent that doesn't get a whole lot of play, and that's just these guys in general ability to tackle. In the open field.
It's not just,
I don't know how you bring these guys down, and they bring them down all the time.
It's not just tackling. It's wanting to do that the next play, and the next play, and the next play. I mean,
no
like
kidding.
For 4 quarters, like eventually the mental part of you is like, man, I...
That's what Derrick Henry's thinking
right.
when he's running at you in the fourth quarter. Do you still want to tackle me? Yeah. All right.
Are we being signaled? So
I know. Yeah, there's really, it's not the, you know, Alden is, we don't have anything else to talk about. So, you know, the Padres played the Dodgers. Alden Gonzalez from ESPN was there. He's smart. He shared his thoughts with Tony and I.
Alden Gonzalez, ESPN, joins us. Alden, I know you can't be here long because you're chasing some stuff out there. First, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. You're in town for the short two-game series. What were your thoughts after watching those two games?
Oof. The Dodgers are nowhere near whole right now. They didn't have Mookie Betts or Freddie Freeman in that lineup. They didn't have any of their new guys in there. But, I mean, that's really no excuse. I think the Padres are just, like, in a really good groove right now. And, I mean, we've talked about this before this season, but I think it's further emphasized now, even with Fernando Tatis Jr. not in there, just how well-balanced that lineup seems to be. They're a team that, as Clayton Kershaw experienced better than anybody on Wednesday, they're a team with the best contact rate in baseball. They put the ball in play. They're dynamic. And what A.J. Preller did with that bullpen, I mean, to add – Tanner Scott, Jason Adam into that mix with Roberto Suarez and Adrian Morejon and Jeremiah Estrada. Look, there's some concerns there with the rotation, but if you could shorten games with five dominant guys like that, that could put you over the hump in the wild card race, and it might really help you make a deep run into October.
You know, Alden, I almost called him Dylan because we have Dylan Hernandez on sometimes.
Don't do that.
And now I know I can't do that. That's why I paused, Alden. I apologize for that. I wanted to ask you, we only have you for a few, but I wanted to ask you because you talked to Jack Flaherty yesterday and I read your story online. And Jack Flaherty ended up with the Dodgers. Some of the Padre fans were wondering. And the Padres, Preller said that they weren't really close on Flaherty. Was it, if that's the case, Was the Padres package not enough for Jack Flaherty, or is it possible that the Tigers just didn't like what the Padres were offering, or maybe just the interest level wasn't there the same as it was for the Dodgers and Yankees?
I think it might have been more the latter. I think, look, the Dodgers came in here with a really clearly stated goal of adding a frontline starting pitcher, and there weren't many frontline available. Tarik Skubal didn't move. Blake Snell didn't move. Garrett Crochet didn't move. So when you were looking into that market, it was Jack Flaherty, and there was, Zach Eflin or Yusei Kikuchi, who cost the Astros quite a bit. I think it was a pretty limited market. And I think, look, I actually do know. Like, A.J. Preller has no interest in trading, like, Ethan Salas's of the world in his farm system. Some of the upper echelon prospects, some of the upper echelon pitching prospects that he traded away are promising. They have high ceilings, but they've taken somewhat steps back this year. You know, I'm talking about Robbie Snelly. I'm talking about Dylan Lesko. I think AJ was smart in that he, you guys know this very well, he's always looking for impact type talent, wherever it is that he could get it. If he has to have a lineup full of shortstops and try to figure it out positionally, he'll do it. And as he showed at this trade deadline, if the impact talent isn't available to him from a starting pitching standpoint, then he'll pivot to the bullpen, even at a time when people thought that maybe the need is not there in the bullpen because he already traded for Jason Adam. He's talked about this a lot, that he feels like that's the type of talent that wins in the playoffs. He said this a lot when he got Juan Soto and Josh Hader, and it's very much still an ethos for him.
Alden Gonzalez joins us here from ESPN. And Alden, we'll get you out of here after a couple more here. A.J. Preller, you just brought him up. He's been the topic of conversation here going into the season. Based on where the year started to where we are now, and I know the full story's not been told yet because ultimately that will have a big part in how the story is told, but from where we were at the beginning of the year to where we are now, how do you think, what kind of job do you think he's done?
I think he's done a really nice job. I really do. He gets a lot of flack for trading away prospects and kind of mortgaging the future in that way. But I think the Padres front office, and rightly, operates from their belief that they could continually replenish farm systems. And we've seen them do this already. We've seen them do this basically three different times. And so whenever they other outsiders think that they gave up too much, they're confident that they could continue to develop that pipeline. Now, look, maybe at some point they're not able to, but all we've seen is an ability for them to, at the very least, develop the type of prospects that other teams want, for them to get the pieces that they need. And when you look, just take a bigger picture look at the Padres this year, they were going to limit their budget. They wanted to, it was seemed pretty clear that they wanted to get under the luxury tax threshold. They basically had to trade away Juan Soto. And for him to add the talent that he's added, I mean, look, Jerickson Profar has been a revelation coming over on a $1 million contract and being an all-star.
Yeah.
But Jackson Merrill has been an impact player in center field, a position that he had never played before. To get Luis Arraez and Michael King and Dylan Cease, and now to get Tanner Scott and Jason Adam, and keeping that payroll down, look, you could criticize him for other missteps in the past, but just looking at these last, say, 8-9 months, I don't think you could have expected much more out of A.J. Preller. The Padres look, I mean, maybe from a talent perspective, they're a little bit less than last year, but not by that much.
Alden, a big question around here. The fans are really excited, and you mentioned him because the season that Jackson Merrill has had, I think, has taken everybody a little bit by surprise, especially playing every day in center field and you know, not only hitting the home runs, 13 home runs and stealing bases and a great OPS for a rookie, but hitting impact home runs and winning games with his home runs. Does he have any chance, though, at a national level to beat out Paul Skenes for Rookie of the Year?
You talking Jackson Merrill? I'm sorry, I missed.
Yes, sorry, Jackson Merrill. Can he beat out Skenes for Rookie of the Year? Yes, sir.
I think Paul Skenes needs to fall off in order for that to happen. For as great as Jackson Merrill's season has been, for as promising as he is, I think just the hype around Paul Skeens is so big.
Yeah.
The type of impact that he's had, the singular impact that he's had in that city. I mean, I think he almost single-handedly made the Padres go for it at the trade deadline in their own way. Like, it's not, they were still pretty conservative in what they did, but they at least took a shot in a year when it seemed like they were going to be taking a step back. I still got to put, the people in San Diego are not going to love this, but I still got to put Paul Skeens ahead of somebody like Jackson Merrill and ahead of everybody, really, because he's been front and center at that. Not to take anything away from Jackson Merrill, but, you know, he gets to be on a roster where people are counting on the Manny Machados and the Tatises, Luis Arraez's, and everybody else. Paul Skeens is at the forefront of this already, and it's just too impressive to overlook.
Alden, as always, man, appreciate you coming on, spending some time with us. Go ahead and chase that news, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks so much, Alden. Yeah, Alden Gonzalez with us a little earlier, and here's the news he was chasing, guys. He was immediately on the phone with the general manager of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, Perry Manassian. The reason he was is because of the news that came down earlier today that Mike Trout is unfortunately lost for the rest of the season now, officially out the rest of the way. He has another meniscus tear.
Same knee.
It is the same knee.
It is, yeah.
That's what Alden was able to gather. But this was an interesting quote he got from the general manager, Perry Manassian. Said Perry about Mike Trout, "I believe it's going to turn. He's going to play. My call is he hits 70 homers and wins the MVP. I believe it. Looking at the look on his face, he might have the best year he's ever had next year.
If he can stay healthy."
We'll save that for further analysis. All right, Adam Klug, well done.
Real quick, this just came down. You guys remember that Sunday ticket deal? It just got overturned.
Oh, so we have to give the money back that the NFL was going to have to give me?
Apparently the jurors did not follow the directions. Calculated something on their own, and that has overturned it.
Oh, no.
The NFL does it again.
The NFL saves $140 billion based on one judge saying something.
4.7 to be about.
Overturned.
God, the NFL. All right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.